We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
10 seconds.
Gafford, no match for Randall with his foot speed off the bounce.
5 seconds. Randall against Gafford. 2 seconds. The step back for the win. Got it! Julius Randall knocks it down, and the Knicks win it over Washington.
So how are your Friday nights, guys? For those who are not aware, John took Friday night off. He's got some obligations, and we thought for a meaningless preseason game, I'll fill in, because nothing exciting is going to happen in the Knicks' final preseason game, right? There's no chance that that happens. You guys can hear me, right? All the audio levels, let me know in the chat. Let me pop out the chat. Shout out to Harry Donert, of course. You're contributing in the super chat. Let me pop this chat out so I can see all you guys. And okay, we here. So how you guys doing? For those who don't know me, my name is Andrew Claudio. I'm the producer here at Knicks Film School, filling in for the incomparable John Macri. And I feel like it is important just to, I don't want to give him the W just yet, but the Knicks just erased a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I actually think it got up to 16 at one point, primarily with Obi Toppin and Julius Randle on the court at the same time. At the same damn time, that happened. So it was never about will it work. It was always about will it happen. And if you want to go back to last preseason when it just took quickly to lead that fourth quarter comeback against the Cavs, and then Tom knew, I need to like see how far this can go, and quickly stole Dennis Smith Jr.'s rotation spot for the rest of the year. I don't know with Taj and Mitch and Noel on the roster if Obi's going to do that. But maybe the argument was always, will Tibbs find religion and play this small ball lineup in necessary moments? And if you look at the fourth quarter, when they were coming back, it was 110-109, and Julius drove basket. And the reason he was able to get to the basket for a foul, he ended up going to the line and making, I think he made both to give the Knicks a 111-110 lead. The reason he was able to get to the basket is because Grimes was on one corner and Obi was on the other. There was a full lane. This is what happens when you play these types of lineups. And it's interesting to see what the Knicks with spacing is going to look like this year. I am actually amazed that this might be what the Knicks look like. What a night. I can't believe that we're all here. Like we here on a Friday night and a meaningless, at the end of the day, a meaningless preseason game. And I was sweating it out with you guys that entire fourth quarter. It's just unreal. Harry, oh my God, you actually said something. I'm now going to jump into the super chat and get caught up real quick. Harry, I don't care that it's preseason. What a game. Absolutely. And it's funny. Midway through the third, when I did not see this comeback coming, I thought to myself about like what message or what tone should I have tonight? And I was preparing myself for, you know, be the therapist. This is a meaningless game. Let's recap the entire preseason. It's a bad night. They're allowed to have one. I didn't think we were going to get anything exciting down the stretch. And while the message was going to be meaningless win or meaningless loss, I have to say that seeing Obi and Randall together and seeing Julius hit a buzzer beater, a step back like that, seeing Quentin Grimes get important minutes, seeing RJ really command some perimeter defense next to Quentin Grimes in the fourth quarter, I think that all of that matters. So forget the fact that the Wizards were not playing anybody, although Kispert was, he's going to be a star or at least a weapon on that team. But like Bradley Beal's not there. Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't playing down the stretch. However, it appears that the Knicks, this fourth quarter mattered. It feels like this absolutely was something that mattered. Thank you, Harry, for your donation and super chat. Dom Cornelius. Wait, is Quentin Grimes good? Go figure. The Knicks found somebody in the late first round that might be a contributor. He was really good defensively down the stretch. And I know that's like, we throw that all onto Deuce McBride, but Deuce obviously didn't get a chance to play really during this preseason. His time will come. There's people ahead of him in line. I was very impressed with Quentin Grimes, especially in that fourth quarter. And, you know, Clyde mentioned it, that it's not, there's no hesitation. Like he's easily going to shoot, you know, he has no fear of shooting down the stretch, but he just needs to get him to fall. And down the stretch, he hit that one big corner three and lo and behold, it helped the Knicks come back in a victory. Go Quentin Grimes. Okay. Let me catch up in the super chat, because you guys are, of course, unbelievably generous tonight. Sam Travis, just go Knicks in all caps with multiple exclamation points. Yeah, I'm with you. I really can't believe that, like, the game that was just supposed to be a throwaway. Well, it's not a throwaway. John has something to do tonight and asked me to fill in. But like, these games shouldn't matter. That's like my philosophy. I don't watch preseason football. I've never watched the Pro Bowl. I don't really pay attention to the spring training in baseball. I don't even know if they have preseason hockey. And with basketball, it's always been don't get hurt. And we can talk about the minutes later, but we're not celebrating the way we are now if Tom Thibodeau isn't playing the guys as many minutes as they did tonight. This feeling isn't meaningless, I'll tell you that much. Kevin Danishevsky, goddamn, I love this team. So good to see Grimes get minutes, a coherent last minute possession. Hope Kemba is okay. Surprised not to see him out there. Let's get to the negatives later. We're still in celebration mode. I have some thoughts about Kemba Walker. They're not long-term or meaningful thoughts, I will say. They're not like, oh, I'm actually worried that everybody that projected that he's going to be a problem this year is right. It's more of seeing some of his limitations when Dinwiddie and Holiday were just consistently taking him to the basket in the first half, and specifically in that second quarter, was alarming. And while we've upgraded number sixes, I'm very happy that Quentin Grimes is on this team. I was a little startled with Kemba, and hopefully, you know, as Kevin said, I hope he's okay and that's not anything serious. Thankfully, we have Derrick Rose. Holy shit. Thank God we have Derrick Rose. Janky AF, thank you for your contribution in the super chat. Michael Aaron, Fred Katz on Twitter. The Knicks scored 29 points in 6 minutes and 54 seconds with the top in Randall front court. John, whatever you're doing tonight, I hope you're doing some kind of victory lap, because it was always about opportunity. I want to make that clear. I do not want to be tagged in every single Obi top and highlight this year. I was never an Obi doubter. It was simply about Tibbs finding religion. I will say that as many times as I have to defend myself. I'm glad we saw it, and I hope Tibbs saw it and is actually going to take advantage of it this season. That is unreal. They scored in little more than half a quarter. They scored 30 points. They scored 40 points in the fourth quarter. I even looked at it. They had 75 going into the fourth. And I thought if they're going to make a comeback, they're probably going to have to get to 40. And lo and behold, then they scored 40 points in a quarter. Someone look up and hit me up in the chat. How many times did they score 40 in a quarter last season? I don't know if you have the ability to do that with StatHead, if someone can get to it quickly, but for a team that seemingly struggled to get to 100 per game to score 40 in a quarter. I don't know how much it happened that much last season. Oh, Robert Cross. Wait, who the hell is this guy? First of all, thank you for your generosity, sir. Calling 53 wins this season, we hear. I'm all about it. You're clearly generous here. Go take advantage of Vegas then if you're feeling that froggy. Okay. I believe it's still 41.5. I believe so preview for Knicks Film School Patreon. Jeremy, John, and I did a preseason prediction podcast that's going to drop on Tuesday, where we go through, John and Jeremy list their 15 playoff teams, or not 15 playoff teams, but the order in which they see all 15 teams finishing. And my job as producer was just to say all of the odds for each spot. So go ahead on DraftKings or FanDuel or wherever and look at your different values, because I think the Knicks to get the 3 seed is like plus 6,000. So 53 wins probably gets them the 3 seed, maybe even a 2 seed. If you live in an area where it's, I don't know how responsible I have to be with telling you guys to go bet, but let's just say my friend in New Jersey would be getting a call from me and there will be some Knicks-centric conversations that we have. Anthony Sixto, thank you for your contribution. Was this the most electrifying, meaningless game of all time? How about Grimes getting to experience what a game, big time shot feels like? Let's go. Macri looks a little. very funny. The comment under Anthony's is Macri looks a little rough tonight. My opinion, having a baby in the house will age you prematurely. Yeah. What can I say? You know, I will say about Anthony's comment, the meaningless game that we talk about tonight, that's not a meaningless crowd. It's good that Quentin Grimes got to see what lighting the garden on fire looks like. You know, I subscribe to the philosophy. Like, I'm not Mike Vorkunov literally sitting there with a stopwatch, but I was thinking like, okay, where's Quentin? Where's Knox? Where are some of these other guys that could pop playing minutes instead tonight? But I gotta say, getting to experience that type of fourth quarter, and you know, as the super chat said earlier, what a comeback win and what that last possession looked like. That's important. And it's a perfect precursor. Imagine if they were coming off this like a blowout loss at home when Bradley Beal got hurt in the third quarter. And then that's the last taste in our mouth before the Celtics game. You know, like the Knicks haven't lost yet this year. And I actually, again, was preparing to talk to you guys about how the importance of losing. And this is going to be such a quick recap. I promise you, I was going to go to the movies after this recap. And then the Knicks had other plans. I'm very confident and probably a little bit irrational with projecting for the Knicks this year, because look, if they're going to post different lineups, if Tibbs is actually going to, you know, take advantage of his full roster and different variations of his roster, sky's the limit here. When Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, Emmanuel Quickley, and all these guys are allowed to have off nights and the Knicks still score 115 points, look out. A.E. Kennedy, I think Grimes showed why he should play more. Nato was not a once Q locked him up. Yeah, Nato. Let me pull up the box score. Hold on. Nato tonight was 10 of 13, 25 points on 2 of 4 from 3. And I don't remember the 3 shots that he missed. It seemed like he got to the rim anytime he wants. But I do remember down the stretch that every single key defensive stop was spearheaded by the fact that, oh man, I didn't even talk about Obi's defense yet. The fact that Obi showed rim protection, the fact that RJ and Quentin showed significant perimeter defense. And yeah, I'm with you. The fact that Quentin might actually be a difference maker. And this is your, like, any thought that we had. I know John and Jeremy talked about it on the pod, that any thought that all Tibbs is going to do if somebody's out is shorten the rotation. Like, if Derrick Rose needs a night off or Kemba's hurt, that we're looking at a shortened rotation. That this, the Knicks are only going to play 8 or 9 guys tonight, like last year when you're wondering why Frank or Knox or somebody else wasn't getting any run. This year, I think you're going to stick with 10. You've got options. Like, if Alec Burks needs a night off or gets hurt, for God forbid, you're going to see Quentin Grimes. And the key thing about Grimes, to anybody else that still believes in Kevin Knox, this is not me trying to be disrespectful, but being able to contribute at both ends of the floor is absolutely going to be something Tom Thibodeau loves. So that's something to look for with Quentin Grimes and his potential to play this season. The legend, C.T. Pittman. This game was like a movie trailer for Wednesday. New York versus Boston. I'll be there. Can't wait. Let's just hope. And I say this with as much love and my heart as possible. Let's just hope this New York-Boston matchup goes better than the most recent New York-Boston matchup. By the way, what is the score of the ALCS for any Yankee fans that are watching at the moment? So I had to. I know my team's garbage. Your standard's not my team, though. Your standard is unreasonable and you need to win every World Series every year. Shout out to all Yankee fans. Baseball season's over for us. New York, we here. Don't worry. That's my last shot for now, I promise. Jeremy... Oh, no, I scrolled down significantly too far. Wow, you guys are really generous tonight. All right, CT Pittman was the last one. Okay. Mensah Smith, merry man. Somebody tell Jason Tatum there's a warrant out for his arrest in New York and that he might want to skip October 20th. Oh, I just realized October 20th. It's my boy's birthday. Shout out to my buddy Evan if he ever sees this. He is not the biggest basketball fan, so don't know why I just gave him a shout out. Anyway, Jason Tatum... Be careful what you wish for. I'm just as high on Jason Tatum as a lot of people around the league. I forget what his MVP odds were, but it's good value, especially in a league full of in a voting body that's full of like former Boston media people. However, man, please don't let the first loss of the season be that game on Wednesday. Please don't let those Celtics be the first loss. And then I really would like Wednesday to be a celebratory post-game recap with John. Please. If Tatum's going to score points, fine. But I'd love to see that RJ Barrett deed him up, that Quentin Grimes deed him up, that the Knicks have some options on defense. So we'll see. The Neils next door used tonight's super chats to get... use tonight's super chats to get Macri's camera and lighting game up to your status. So here's the thing. A lot of the things that Macri's using right now are things I've sent him. Like the ring light that's there is something I gave him. The framing of it. We go over it before every pod. We're doing the best we can. Trust me, it could be worse. And if you watch very early YouTube videos, and look, I'm not perfect. Like, yes, the lighting's great in here. I happen to go to school for this. But, like, it could be worse is all I'm saying. There's no shadow on John's face anymore. We've turned it down that there's no shine on his face anymore either. You know, one day, when Knicks Film School gets its own place, when... you know, the Knicks buy us or something. Let me think a little. Let me dream a little bigger. When HBO gives us funding and these super chats are on your cable provider, then sure, I will upgrade the equipment from the super chats to using the money from the super chats to make sure John's lighting and camera game looks as good as mine. But for now, I'm thankful for what we have. Jeremy Chase, RJ looked like a legit stopper. Grimes and Obi looked great. Kemba's closeouts, though, yikes. That's honestly the thing I was going to focus on at the Knicks lost. I don't know. So the only... You guys asked John this on Wednesday, and then it was asked on the mailbag of any concern. Look, I'm as ecstatic as anybody when Kemba Walker signed that he's here. I think what we've seen... so far in the preseason, Derrick Rose is going to be closing a lot of games. I think that could be the plan, that Kemba's your starter and Derrick Rose is your finisher. And look, not for nothing, but what did we scream about all last season? Number six, we just needed an upgrade over him. Kemba Walker without legs is an upgrade over him. Maybe not defensively, but offensively, absolutely. So maybe Kemba's a 22 to 25 minute player going forward. that's, again, the worst case scenario. This is an overall positive preseason, but worst case scenario, I got to say, maybe Kemba has lost a step and we just need him to be a serviceable backup point guard that plays starters, plays with the starting lineup in the beginning. It's a weird way to phrase it, but look, and that's like me reacting to three preseason games where he didn't look like, maybe looked a little rusty. Maybe he shows up for against his old team on Wednesday looking to send a message, and we're celebrating Kemba Walker's coming out party on Tuesday or on Wednesday. That is, again, Jeremy, that's up there for one of my concerns, though. And Dom Cappuccini, any concerns with defense? Maybe tired legs from regular season type minutes. A lot of open lanes to the rim for the Wizards tonight. A lot of very easy layups for the Wizards tonight, which is crazy because Mitch was back. Oh, Mitch, we even talk about Mitch Robinson. Good to see him out there. I'm glad to see that his physicality is like, to see what like bulked up Mitch Robinson looks like. But man, he's clearly out of shape, which I know, like, who am I to talk about? I'm a dude sitting in a studio / closet talking about somebody in the NBA being out of shape. However, he looked like he got winded very easily tonight. So, you know, he'll place backup minutes for a while. And thankfully, we have this new weapon with Obi Toppin at the five that can hopefully give him some time to get back into game ready shape, you know?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Justin Wright, Grimes is ready. Obi looked great on perimeter D. Tibbs may be in an actual evil scientist. I really wish John was able to recap tonight. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, but this was like made for a John Macri reaction video. You know what I'm saying? Like this was his culmination. You know, this was his portal seat in Endgame. Finally seeing Obi and Randle play together, and it worked. You know, Dom Cappuccini, I asked because I thought the defensive effort was strong all around first two games. Yeah, these guys are getting back into game ready shape. And the pros and cons of Tom Thibodeau is that, you know, potentially you might be tired early this when you're getting used to playing this many minutes this early in the season. But look, I'd rather my team be used to playing a lot of minutes than be gassed in the fourth quarter in the regular season. Cause like I haven't looked at the Celtics game logs because I just flat out have other things to do, but who knows if they've been playing NBA minutes just yet. I mean, they're going to look a little rusty on Wednesday, but we'll see. Jeremy E, RJ defensive potential is scary. I really hope that does get more attention this year. Like Keith Smith sent out that tweet, but you know, I really hope people actually use their eyes and not like cherry pick on some counting stats and actually look at what RJ Barrett will mean to this team this year, because I don't necessarily think that he's as high of a ceiling as some people are saying. Like, I don't think RJ Barrett's going to make an all NBA team this year. However, like an all-star team, if he's like playing lockdown defense, averaging close to 20 points a game, the Knicks are winning and he's a second best player. That's absolutely in play. And so again, gambling, please somebody go look up betting odds for RJ Barrett, most improved player. Might be adding to the the fund that those of you on Patreon, she's outside, so I can't say what it is. But those of you on Patreon know what fund I've been saving up for that started with Julius Randle's most improved player. RJ Barrett's defensive potential is scary, Jeremy. And I am excited to see what it how that potential plays out in a Knicks uniform. Brian Benjamin just finished the game and they call him Mr. Tibbs. I think that's the movie you were calling back to, the Lion King. Yes, we got the Obi Randle lineup and Grimes is exactly what I thought he'd be. Hell yeah. R.I.P. Kemba. He didn't die, guys. He had a bad first half. We'll see. We'll see. Who said in the chat, rumor has it Macri is a centaur. So, I mean, you guys technically haven't seen if he has legs. You guys technically haven't seen if I have legs. You know? I saw Last Duel earlier today. Karim Asor asked, apologies if I butchered your name, asked in the chat which movie, because I mentioned I was going to go to the movies earlier. I saw Last Duel earlier today. I was up late working on today's podcast of my other show, Final Review. So instead of going to a matinee for Halloween Kills, I went and saw the 2.5-hour Ridley Scott movie, which is really good, by the way. And then tonight after the game, there was a 10:30 showing at the movie theater near me that I was going to go see Halloween Kills. And then the Knicks had a fourth quarter comeback with Obi Toppin and Julius Randle playing the 4 and 5 that clearly took precedent. I will hopefully be there tomorrow instead. I think there's one other, Brian Benjamin. Grimes over Evan. Don't care if we paid him. Grimes showed more than Evan did. So it's interesting seeing what the way tonight worked. You know, Tibbs being able to be flexible and going with the hot hand. There were moments clearly where he stuck with certain guys longer than he should have last year. Looked no further than the point guard position. Evan Fournier is going to be here for 4 years. Three years plus an option. I can't necessarily say that, like, because of tonight, Quentin Grimes has officially earned that he needs to take minutes away from Evan Fournier. Having said that, what this can give you guys confidence in is A, the Knicks drafting ability, because once again, they're finding talent without having a top 10 pick that we all like. I don't know, we all, because I hate tanking, but for so many people are like, the only way the Knicks would be good is if they keep losing. Well, last year and a half, they haven't been losing, and look at them finding talent in the draft. The second thing, and this is extreme. Well, okay. The second thing is depth. Somebody gets hurt, they have guys able to step up and contribute right away. And the third thing, and this is not something I'm wishing for, and I don't mean to put this into the universe. We know there may be a big trade. We did so many cap or no caps about how, like, the Knicks are prime with their assets to complete a big trade the next time one of these big guys asks out. I don't think they're going to pull the trigger. But if an Evan Fournier or some of the younger guys get put into a deal, you have Quentin Grimes to step in. Like, when the Nets cleaned house with their younger players, with the Caris LeVerts and the Josh Allens, and there was another guy that went in that trade. When they got rid of their three biggest assets at the time, they had to depend on some second round picks to step up and play on a championship roster. Well, if the Knicks are going to then start to use late in the lottery, late in the first round and second round picks to be contributors, this is who you got. Quentin Grimes, Deuce McBride. The beauty of it, though, I really don't think the Knicks are going to explore that. I think the Knicks are going to see what this current team has, and I'm excited to see, you know, what this current team has. Okay. I think there was one more. Love you, Claudia. You're doing great, but you're right. What did I say? I was right. That's all I need to... Oh, someone said fuck the... Ah, yes. What is the score of the WNBA Finals? Bricks Nation. Fuck the ALCS. I'm watching the WNBA Finals. Somebody hit me up with the score in the chat. I'm also caught up, by the way, for those of you listening on the podcast. I'm trying to be to tell the story of what's going on screen while this is not just a visual medium. Brian Benjamin, I got a raise from my job so I can afford more of these. First of all, congratulations, Brian. Thank you for giving us part of your raise. Get a drink on us. Well, get a drink on behalf of us tonight, okay? I got a raise from my job so I can afford more of these, but Danny King Julius is a closer. Man, you want to talk about a guy that I'm hoping has a great season? Like, I've talked about just what last season meant from Julius Randle, but man, I'm really glad that he has the last game. He's coming off being a father of two kids. He's coming off the birth of his second child. We'll go with that. And now he has the third quarter that he didn't get the third preseason game. And now he has this, a game winner. He was part of the lineup that brought the comeback in the fourth preseason game and a step back. And as Gary Neal, the Neal's next door asked, thank you for your contribution. Was this Randle's first real game winner? To be honest, it's to the point that I'm more surprised that he misses those mid-range jumpers. So he hit the game tying three against the Sixers last year. He hit the three to put it out of reach against the Clippers last year. Those are the shots that are sticking out. Like, he has some, that's the thing, is we think game winner, and Melo used to get overlooked for this all the time. Like, we think about game winning shot as like 3-2-1 buzzer beater. That's the only time a shot you took ever won a game. When extending a 3-point lead to a 5-point lead, or extending a 4-point lead to a 7-point lead in the final minutes, is also a game winning shot, a game clinching shot. And Julius, I feel, whether he had that shot or not, had that play, like that pass to the corner, or the initiated that play so many times last year. And it's why, as I was saying earlier, I really hope he has a good year. I hate this 5-game sample size in his first playoff series against a team that had made it their mission. If you saw that scouting report, stop Julius Randle. They have no other options. And the Knicks' only other option was Derrick Rose, who ran out of gas midway through game four. So, yeah, I'm really hoping Randle has a big season, and specifically like shows, like makes the All-Star game easily. Maybe doesn't make all NBA, but like is close and in the conversation, and is the best player on the team that wins close to 50 games. We'll see. Steve Thomas, Andrew, continue to be awesome. Thank you, Steve. I will do my best to continue to be awesome. I'd get it from my mama, so I'll do my best to stay that way. Okay, we've been doing this for half an hour. I will stay around and answer, just dive into the chat. As far as, I have the box score here, as far as the actual game is concerned, I haven't even seen like points and whatnot. I guess Quentin Grimes was a plus 16 in 21 minutes for 6 points. Derrick Rose, good Lord, I'm glad that dude's back. 28 points, a plus 20 in 29 minutes, 11 for 20 from the field, including 3 of 6 from 3. Obi Toppin, plus 18, 9 points in 20 minutes. Julius Randle had 21 and 10, and he did have 4 turnovers and went 6 of 16. Overall, a not great counting stats game, but again, Randle was on the floor for that bad, for the comeback. So you take it with a grain of salt, and yeah, hit the game winner. So I'm not going to be too negative here. And then RJ Barrett, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, and ends the game with 18 points, 6 rebounds, and two blocks. No assists. Wow. Oh, that's right. He was on the court when dudes were missing. So that would actually make sense that I think about it. Yeah. RJ ended up having a good game. Good for him. Man, I hope that kid has a good, not only has a good year, but gets recognized by the league for having a good game. And then the Knicks won, scored 40 points in the fourth. Whoa, sorry. I know that's loud. Scored 40 points in the fourth quarter in a 40-23 fourth quarter. So Knicks win. It's always like, I don't know if you guys still get this way, but it's really like with the Knicks, like my mood's changed. Like, I don't really get that way with the Mets anymore. God, I had to, for my own sanity, get away from that with the Jets, where their losing does not affect me anymore. Like, I'm able to still enjoy a night, a day, a weekend, whatever. But like the Knicks losing can still do it to me, which I guess is why I'm here at Knicks Film School. Okay. Let me dive into the chat for a little bit. The Neil's next door. Any intel on the new pickups? What do you mean by the new pickups? Anyone know anything about the guy we picked up from the Spurs? Oh, so let me look this up real quick, because there is a really good thread out there by somebody at the Strickland that actually saw when the Spurs released this guy and was surprised and said, like, this is a guy that, you know, a team will be lucky to have. Ben Ritholtz. Okay. He's at Ben, BenRitholtz NBA. He has a really good thread on the guy that the Knicks just got from the Spurs. I'd recommend anybody listening, anybody in the chat, anybody watching right now, go look at his Twitter account, give him a follow, and check out that thread. I learn something every time I go to his page and look at those threads. He's really good. Anthony Sixto. Wait a second, Claudio. What happened to the wood paneling 90s digs you were recording from before? So you guys know John moved to Brooklyn this offseason. I moved to Queens. I was able to build kind of my own studio. If I literally took my camera up, you'll see that this may or may not be a closet that I turned into a soundproof studio so I can talk at any hours of the night or record any hours of the night. And you know how this hoodie was like good luck last season for the Knicks? Well, I was kind of hoping that it would be good luck for me to move over here for the Mets, because I live exactly 10 minutes from Citi Field. And the moment I moved here, the New York Mets decided we're done winning for 2021, at least the important games, or consistently in 2021s. Yes, Daniel Mejia in the chat. I did live in Long Island. I lived in Suffolk County for majority of my life before now. But yes, that's a little Claudio 101. Let's talk about the Knicks, though. Is sixth, he said. I soundproofed my mom's walk-in closet. Yes, she was very gracious and let me, as long as I did all my chores, I was able to soundproof the closet, which took me like a day or two. That's a lie. If you really go look at the videos of, you can see when I moved in and how long it took me to finally soundproof this place. Bayside, by the way, Doug, we can talk about the Knicks, guys. You don't have to make this all personally. No shame, I promise. Okay. Karim, I'm a Washington football team fan. Think what I'm going through this week. Yikes. I got no comment. I got to be honest. I will say, I guess I don't have no comment. I will say, like, it is fascinating that an investigation that had nothing to do with the Raiders led to the Raiders coach getting fired. I also really don't know how shocked I was by any of the content in that. Football is a very masculine and barbaric sport with masculine and barbaric language at times, and he comes from a generation of people that never was told you can't say that. So I don't wish John Gruden well. I just hope people watching this learn and grow. That's, I think a lot of us are required to do that, just like learn from other people's mistakes, and hopefully you don't have to learn from your own and you can grow on your own. It's a very deep thing to get into on a preseason Knicks postgame show, but those are my honest thoughts about what's happened in football this week, the number one story in football this week. That's the best I got. Oh, Feuder Nick, Fuddy, Dolan greater than Snyder. I mean, yeah, sure. I think it's a tie. I don't hate James Dolan as much as the NBA media paints him out to be. But I also kind of just defend some of the anti James Dolan people out there. Like, I'm not close with Howard Beck, but I'm friendly with him. And I know he's like evil to Knicks Twitter. However, like, imagine having like a difficult person you have to work with that like make, or at least a person in your job that just makes your job difficult all the time. And Dolan is extremely, extremely sensitive. So you write one bad article about him, which like comes with the territory of being a public figure, and he makes your life hell. Like, man, I don't think I can fault anybody that is frustrated with having to deal with James Dolan because he makes their lives miserable. Never seen Dan Snyder play guitar, though. So maybe that's what the next step is for Nick's film school, is that JD in the Straight Shots does a live concert if we reach a certain Patreon number. Only share bad thoughts. Only share bad. No, Bricks Nation. No, I am leaving that in the chat, not saying it on the pod. Danny Mejia, the small ball lineup is instant offense. We've been waiting for this all season. They came from so many different directions. They had so many options because the lanes were open. And I'm not even saying like that should be the only lineup. I'm saying that it's an option. That's the cool thing about all of these good teams. Like my favorite version of this is when the Warriors would give you multiple looks, like Bogut would be on the floor. Then they go to the small ball death lineup. Now they had Hall of Famer, so it was different, but they were running multiple iterations of their lineup and staggering different guys. And we haven't really seen the version of last year that was U5 on, U5 off, and then U5 back on, and U5 back off. And then we have the closing lineup, which is really going to fall into whatever Tibbs is comfortable with down the stretch. Instead, we might get some staggered lineups finally. We can get it where RJ's the main creator, where Derrick Rose is the main creator, where Quickly and is on the floor at the same time as Rose or Kemba. Like, I'm excited to see. Maybe Tibbs did find religion and takes advantage of some of the options that he sees tonight, that he sees this season. So we'll see. A couple more before we get out of here. Let's see. Dan Snyder watches movies on his $100 million max screen on his yacht. He doesn't need a guitar. Yeah, I would be very jealous. I'd love to have that, to have an IMAX screen and be able to do that. All right. I think we're actually going to get out of here. Guys, thank you for tuning in to the Knicks Film School postgame show. If you dug this show on the podcast by listening, head on over to iTunes and drop a 5-star rating and a review. John and Jeremy will be doing a crossover special episode with Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw of Locked On Knicks. We are doing a crossover 2-part episode where half the show will be on ours, half the show will be on their feed. You'll get to hear it Monday morning will be when the first one drops. So stay tuned for that. Patreon, as I mentioned, John's top 75. He did a full NBA 75. The pod took 2 hours and it was awesome. I gave as much pushback as I can where I disagreed, but he put in the research and I more just sat there and learned while he did that. So if you want to see the full NBA 75 from John Macri, as well as access to 13 other episodes that we've released so far, thank you. Sign up. The problem is I'm reading the chat as well as, and everybody's thanking me. Thank you for tuning in, guys. And if you want more Knicks Film School content, head over to Patreon. It's in a link right below my face. For just $7 a month, you get an extra episode of the Knicks Film School podcast every week. So that's where you go get that. And I think that's it. I guess I should plug my podcast, Final Review. It's a movie podcast, a niche movie podcast, where we go through the greatest movies of all time and tell you just how great they actually are. This week, in honor of Halloween, Halloween Kills hitting theaters, which I'm going to see sometime tomorrow, we will be doing Halloween, or we did Halloween. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Final Review is the name of that podcast. We did the 1978 Halloween and talked about horror in general. Okay, guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. Stay safe, be responsible, do something fun, but again, responsible. And I will see you next time.